You're listening to the Motorsport Network podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our roundup show from the Australian Grand Prix. We are inside because outside it is absolutely hooning down with rain and they are packing up. Paddock is a bit like a building site at the moment. It's all being packed up and being shipped off for China for the race next weekend. But yeah, joining me is Emily. And we're going to talk about the Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah. I mean, who would have guessed this kind of weather after a 37-degree day for qualifying, and here we are freezing in Australia.
Well, it was funny, wasn't it? It was the build-up all week, lovely weather, you know, really, really enjoyable, you know, great start to the season. And there was always this prediction about potential rain for Saturday, but when it turned up, boy, did it turn up.
Yeah, a couple of times too throughout the race.
I mean, it mixed things up nicely, you know, made life incredibly difficult for the rookies. We saw lots of spinning offs, didn't we, and accidents on the first lap. Yeah. Not just the rookies, some of the experienced drivers as well. We saw Carlos Sainz and Fernando Alonso, oldest driver on the grid, falling foul of the weather. But ultimately, an exciting Australian Grand Prix to kick off the season, won by Lando Norris. What a brilliant win.
Yeah, phenomenal. I mean, I think it really sets the tone for what the season could be for McLaren. They ended last year as the victors and it seems like they've come in strong.
Yeah, and I think for Lando, Lando Norris coming in this year as the favourite, the bookies' favourite to win the championship. I think it was a pretty strong statement from him, wasn't it? I mean, he didn't have it all his own way. He's admitted the car's probably the quickest, which I think we all know.
Yes.
But he did go off through the gravel, and at one point it looked like he'd thrown it all away.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a perfect race by any stretch. I mean, there were a few little errors, and obviously the rain played a part. But I mean, he held it together, and that hasn't always been the case. Think back to Russia a few years ago when he was, you know, vying for his first win and ended up binning it. So I think it goes to show the kind of progress he's made over the past few seasons and the fact that this could be his year.
Yeah, that little story about the Russia race where he was leading and it just started to rain and he was going to stay out and obviously chose to stay out, Lewis Hamilton right behind him. All Hamilton needed to do was the opposite to what Norris had done and he would have taken the victory, and Norris obviously slid off and duffed it into the barriers. And, you know, there's a funny story about that, actually. When he went back to the hospitality, he walked all the way back with his crash helmet on, as drivers often do when things don't go right. And he sat in his driver's room in the dark for about 45 minutes, not making a noise. And I know that when the communications team went in to go and check on him, he was still sat there with his helmet on in the dark. He hadn't moved. He was still processing it. And I think that probably tells you a lot about his personality and the way that he response from adversity. And I think that last year he finished the championship and he was always talking about lessons he'd learned, and he said, I know what I need to do to beat Max. And that's exactly what happened today. You know, he dug deep. Max was pushing him to the wire, and Max Verstappen finishing second, I think that was quite a good result for him.
I mean, Max always feels a little bit inevitable. You know, it feels like you could start him 10 laps down and he'd still, you know, win the race. But yeah, that's an interesting story about Lando. I didn't realise that. I wonder if a wet race still kind of gives him a little bit of PTSD.
Yes, it's possible, I mean, it did look like they'd tossed it away. One driver who did suffer, you know, in the same incident was his teammate Oscar Piastri. He looked nailed on for a second place. Had looked comfortable all race despite the conditions, and then dipped off track, did a spin, ultimately finished ninth, which was a recovery because after the spin he was down in 13th.
Yeah.
Still scored some points, but
for sure, made it to the points. But I mean, we had a graphic ready to go saying first Australian on the podium ever, which is crazy to think about this curse that seems to be, I mean, it is persisting at this point. But, you know, what heartbreak. There was so much papaya in the stands, so many people out for Oscar today, but, you know, still managed to get into P9, which wasn't too bad.
Now, we did a show, didn't we, earlier in the week, and the local paper were talking about the curse and the Harry Potter curse and everything. What is it? I mean, it is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I remember Daniel saying for a long time that there really is so much pressure here. It's such intense scrutiny. I mean, Australia is a huge sporting nation and there aren't too many big international events that come here. So it really is, you know, spotlight on whoever whichever Aussie driver is on the grid. So, I mean, that could be a factor, but it really seems like Oscar was, you know, pretty cool, calm and collected throughout the weekend. His team kept his duties, like media duties, pretty light and he seemed to have, you know, a good head across the weekend.
Yeah, he is level-headed, isn't he? He doesn't seem to get flustered and, you know, he's carried himself well. You know, he would have, you know, been fuming at what happened, but he didn't lash out. He wasn't moaning, did his media commitments and everything. So, you know, and it is still only the first race of a 24-race season. We mentioned coming up next is China. So he'll be looking to bounce back from that. One team who will also be looking to do better is Ferrari.
Yes.
All eyes on Lewis Hamilton coming into this. First race in Ferrari colours. Lots of pressure, lots of expectation. He'd come in with such a positive attitude, smiling all the way. It's not the case necessarily leaving, is it?
No, I mean, we've been talking about sort of the spicy radio messages and, you know, a bit of... not miscommunication, but I think, you know, figuring out a different kind of communication style with a new race engineer and, and a new team, certainly lots of, you know, new parts on the car. He joked about not knowing where like the wet button is on the Ferrari wheel. And which obviously he needed today. But I mean, he came out of the race and came to the media pen and, you know, had that really cool head on his shoulders, was, you know, very relaxed, really downplayed any potential sort of miscommunication within the team. So it'll be interesting to see sort of whether that persists throughout the season or if it reaches a point where he kind of, I don't know, it gets a bit spicier.
I mean, the relationship with Peter Bonington, his last race engineer at Mercedes, was obviously well known. And we mentioned this on a video which we did for Autosport, you know, the hammer time and those messages. And there was a level of trust. And I think it does take a little while to build that up. But it was clear that that still needs to be worked on at Ferrari, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, across the board, we heard, you know, some messages with Charles also saying, you know, I don't need this much information. And you'd think by this point, they sort of know how to work with Charles. He's, you know, Mr. Ferrari, as Lewis said. So I guess we'll see sort of how things, you know, develop throughout the season.
Another driver who didn't have a good weekend was Liam Lawson. You know, clearly off the pace in all of the sessions, didn't finish the race. It's probably too early to say the pressure's on him, or is it?
I mean, all signs sort of say that Red Bull is giving him his time. I think they've potentially learned the lesson that if you put too much pressure on them, we'll see another Alex Albon, Pierre Gasly type situation. So it seems as though Christian Horner and the team are, you know, letting him sort of figure things out. But I was speaking to someone, you know, in Liam's camp earlier, and they were saying, I'd actually never seen him drive the way that he performed in qualifying. So perhaps there's a bit of nerves, you know, getting to him. Yeah.
I mean, it's inevitable, isn't it? You know, kind of a home race-ish.
Ish.
Him, not far from here, from New Zealand. But obviously the pressure that brings, he's waited so long for his opportunity. But yeah, ultimately a disappointing end for him. Another home driver for you, Jack Doohan. Must be, you know, pretty galling. I mean, the pressure's building. You know, there's Franco Colapinto waiting in the wings in Alpine, which Alpine made the decision to bring in because obviously he's, you know, had experience in Formula One, but he also keeps the pressure on the other drivers and, you know, keeps them honest. And it means that they can swap him in and out if they need to.
Yeah.
Crashing out didn't do himself any favours, did it?
No, certainly not. But I mean, you look back to yesterday and, you know, he was on the pace of Gasly and, you know, things were looking, you know, good or as good as can be, you know, in the Alpine. But yeah, what a shock for him. I mean, he had his dad Mick here and, you know, it was a home race, not the result he would have been expecting.
Probably not the result that Kimi Antonelli was expecting either. Fourth place finish.
Yeah, it's sort of the reverse of fortunes. Yeah. I mean, Kimi also obviously suffered some damage in qualifying, so that wasn't, you know, a true reflection of his pace. But, you know, what a turnaround for the driver who has sort of been touted as the next Max Verstappen. It seems like all signs are kind of pointing to that possibly being true.
Yeah, it's funny because George Russell was third. And it is as if Mercedes are there, you know, they're waiting, aren't they, for the, you know, the Red Bulls and the McLarens to drop points. And they're always there to pick them up.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite a unique position without actually challenging for wins. They're still doing just enough to get those odd podiums. They will obviously be looking to make gains, you know, and push on for later in the year. One team we haven't mentioned, Aston Martin. We mentioned Fernando Alonso earlier, I guess, crashing out, but not in detail. Lance Stroll actually had a good race, and it's not often that people say that.
I mean, oftentimes it's in wet conditions that we see Lance shine a bit. So, you know, perhaps not all too surprising, but definitely a race of mixed fortunes for Aston. They've got, you know, Adrian Newey's come in and a real sort of dream team. But yeah, it wasn't the ideal day for Alonso. Meanwhile, you know, Lance is up in the points and he credited his team for kind of keeping, you know, a close eye on the radar, seeing rain fast approaching and pitting him at just the right time. So perhaps a bit of luck, and maybe Lance is just quite good in the wet.
Final one I want to talk about is, before we talk about a little bit about the weekend, but obviously is Carlos Sainz, another one with focus on him.
Yeah.
Had looked quick you know, looked good in testing as well before then. But again, you know, an unexpected error on, you know, first couple of laps.
Definitely. From Carlos as well, who, you know, often doesn't make too many errors. So interesting to see what happened. I mean, obviously it was a great day for Alex Albon. I'm curious to see, you know, how evenly matched they'll be across, you know, a race distance next week in China. But it seems like everyone was, you know, really excited to see Carlos in blue for the first time. So lots of disappointed fans, I'm certain.
You mentioned the fans. I mean, they have been amazing here, haven't they? I mean, we've been catching the tram in and out, and they have been coming every single day, thousands and thousands of them. It just feels such a good place to start the season, the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the motorsport community is huge here. It's definitely a big part of the culture. And I mean, it's growing up here, it's a hard place to be an F1 fan. You know, you're up in the middle of the night, early mornings, late nights. So it's always nice to come here and sort of, you know, give these fans a weekend where they can do the Melbourne walk and see drivers and, you know, really immerse themselves before having to go back to 3 a.m. starts.
I'm amazed by the amount of people wearing the merchandise. Like, everyone is wearing a Formula One top, usually an Oscar Piastri top.
Yeah, and they're not cheap, as we learned.
Yeah, how much was the Ferrari cap?
Oh, I had a friend pay, I think it was $120 for a Ferrari cap, which,
wow,
crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it? But everyone's wearing the merch. It seems like everyone's had a good time, despite the weather. And it does seem like the right place to kick off. And I think that, you know, we could be seeing the Australian Grand Prix back potentially next year as the first event, which would obviously be good as well.
Yeah, on the calendar till 2035, I think it's the longest contract we have on the season. So that's great. I mean, I couldn't imagine a calendar without this race.
No, excellent. Well, coming up next, we've got China. It's going to be entirely different, different race, different atmosphere. Are we expecting much of the same? Is it going to be Max versus Lando?
I mean, it definitely feels as though McLaren have a real advantage. I mean, we heard George Russell saying, you know, pretty emphatically, he feels like McLaren could almost stop development and just look to 2026. That's how far ahead they are.
Sure.
So, look, I'd love to be proven wrong and then see a bit of a fight at the top. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's one of those races that lends itself to a little bit of unpredictability, but you can't see past those two.
Yeah.
Weather is actually set to be quite warm. Otherwise, I would have normally said that Mercedes could have been in the hunt there.
Yeah.
But you know, you never know. As I said before, they're in the mix. And ultimately, Ferrari do need to respond, don't they, to
they
that
do.
Weekend.
So. Yeah, not what they were hoping for. So hopefully China's their weekend.
Good stuff. Be sure to check back on motorsport.com. We will be bringing you all the action from the Chinese Grand Prix later in the week.